5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're gonna cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're gonna make fun of people. We're gonna hurt people's feelings. It's Ferrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Ferrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad seed, broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Ferrell Palatia right across the river into the woods from where Granny was just toking on a little hybrid mimosa 20%. And I'm not talking about a Sunday morning beverage in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do be. All my friends that come around, flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be. Check out, ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Ferrell with Carver High this evening. And I just have to say, 1-0 Rays in the top of the sixth. And it's been the Blake Snell show as advertised on today's Coast to Coast. We talked about it endlessly, that it would be all about this pitcher tonight if he could put in one of his Cy Young performances. I thought, obviously, in his first outing in a World Series, he was unbelievable. Not only did I bet on him tonight based on his dealings, that I told you that, did I not say Carver High today? I mean, factually, I said that Gonsolin would go an inning and two-thirds. I said he'd go an inning and two-thirds.
Exactly. We knew he wasn't going to do anything tonight. I mean, it just, we played that clip, too, of him being like, oh, well, you know, they told me a couple days ago that I was going to go game six, so, you know, I'm really ready to go far. Yeah, sure you were.
Well, I just was excited that I got it down to the out, that he'd last an inning and two-thirds. So he was worthless. And I have to say, he and Kershaw both look dramatically like Jesus.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell and Avenge with you. So this guy, Snell, 9 strikeouts in 5 innings, right? And so right now Tampa's up in the top of the 6th and 2 outs, nobody on. And it's so frustrating for me because I've been like literally like calling this on coast to coast, left and right. A, that Gonsolin would go an inning and 2/3. B, that no one on the Rays can hit. It's just a Rosarena hit a home run, and I said he's the only guy that can even remotely try to get a hit on the whole team. I said Kiermaier gets hits, and Kiermaier got a hit in the game today. He's got a hit. Meadows has a hit. A Rosarena has 2 hits, and nobody else. Choi, 0-for. Lau, 0-for. Margot, 0-for. Wendell, 0-for. Adamas, worthless, 0-for. He's worthless. He's hitting 158. Wendell hitting 118. He's embarrassing. Got a great glove, no stick. Zunino, 0-for. He's literally, Zunino's so bad right now, he's literally hitting 000 in the World Series. I mean, there's not one guy on the team that can hit. Meanwhile, Snell's throwing the game of a lifetime. I think only Sandy Koufax has struck out 9 in 4 innings. He did it in 4 innings, Snell. He's pitched 5. He had 9 strikeouts, Carver High, through 4 innings. And, I mean, the guy is absolutely dealing. But what I'm worried about is twofold. A, he's only going to pitch, I think, I'm guessing the 6th. Do you think they'll put him out there for the 7th inning? I don't. And then, because he never pitches this far. He never pitches this long. The last time he went this long was in 2019. So, and Wendell just struck out. He's just so awful. I mean, it is so embarrassing watching this team. They can't get a hit ever. And you said it best. Tell them what you said to me about who they're facing.
Well, this is where they needed to win this game. They're getting this outstanding performance from Snell. But yet you sit there and they're facing every hack in the Dodger bullpen. I mean, seriously, Gonsolin, Wood,
Floro,
Gonzalez, like
Baez.
These are the stiffs that you need to hit, because now you're going to get to the point in the game where some better arms are going to come in. The Dodger offense might finally put a run or two on the board, and you're going to get burned. You had 5 innings now to score off of the worst pitchers in the Dodger pen, and you haven't gotten it done. It's awful.
And then only Taylor had a single to left, and that's it. One hit this guy's allowed. Do you think that he can go further? Like, do you think that he can pitch the bottom of the 6th, and do you think that's it? Or do you think that because his pitch count is so low that he could actually go into the 7th?
I think that he could definitely, if he has another quick inning here, or another, you know, stress-free inning, I think that they could. But you know what? They're going to be quick with the hook, because he's got, Cash has all of his big guys ready to go here tonight. He's got Anderson. He's got Castillo. He's got Fairbanks. He's got all his best guys, and he's just dying to use them. So I think even the slightest bit of trouble, and Snell's going to come out of this game.
Right. And so I actually, I like Fairbanks. I think he brings it. So I wouldn't mind seeing what happens there. The problem is, you're right. They can't hit. They can't score. So they're going to hand over a 1-0 lead to that bullpen. And that's where I'm worried about them blowing it and losing the game 2-1 to the Dodgers. Because I just have this bad feeling that when he leaves that game, that's the end. That's the end, because he's so great and the rest of them aren't. It's really that simple. I even said tonight watching the game, now I know this is crazy to say because they're a good team, right? They made it to the World Series. They destroyed the Yankees all year. Then they beat them in five, in game five. Brousseau with the home run off Chapman. But I honestly, I don't ever remember. You tell me, Carver High, do you ever remember a team in the World Series that hits as bad as they do? That literally, like, just doesn't hit? Can you name another team? How do you make the World Series and you cannot get a hit? I mean, they every single game is the same thing. Now, I know that they have scored some runs, and you know, but you know, they won Saturday night in a wild walk-off, and that's great and everything, but then they turned right around and lost 4-2. And I mean, you tell me, I don't know. It's not like I'm, you know, blown away by any of the performances. They lost 6-2 on Friday night, 6-4 last Wednesday night, and 8-3 on the Tuesday night. They won, and that was it. Tuesday night was game one. They lost 8-3. Game two lost, or they won 6-4. That was the only time they ever scored any runs. They lost 6-2. They won 8-7, so twice they've scored in every other game. They haven't really scored runs, have they? I mean,
no, and that's where there's a lot of outs still to get here, and we know how potent the lineup is, and them not scoring runs against all these lesser pitchers could come back to bite them in these last three innings.
Are you surprised that this game has, whatever, 5 hits total in the whole game from both teams?
A little surprised considering, obviously, 4 out of the 5 games, even though, you like you say, they haven't hit, 4 out of the 5 games in this series have gone over. You know, gone over the line, which has been 8 pretty much every single game. They've all been going over, but it has slowed down here tonight.
What was it tonight?
On. It was 8 tonight. The over-under was 8.
No way. Are you kidding me? It won't even get near that.
Well, right now it won't.
Oh, so you think they're going to explode on these
bullpens? I'm just saying. No, look, I'm not saying that. It's just, you know, we've seen crazy things happen. I don't think it's going over tonight. No, not at 1-0 in the 6th.
Yeah, what you need is for your boy Turner to walk up there and hit a home run.
When he came up before, last time he was up, I was like, let's just get this homer here to tie this game at 1. This would help the resume here for the MVP. Let's go.
Don't you think if he hit another home run tonight to like win this game, there's a hit. So he gave up a hit in the 6th with 1 out. And do you think he'll yank him now? Dude, how can you yank this guy when he's throwing a 2-hitter in the game 6 of the World Series when your life is on the line? He's yanking him right now. You knew it. Did I not just feel that coming?
Any trouble, he wants that bullpen in the game as bad as possible. He wants these guys out there.
The minute he had trouble.
72 pitches.
He doesn't agree with it either.
I'm a little behind the game.
Well, he just walked out.
We've seen him do that a bunch in the playoffs. Remember against the Yankees, he did that too. He left the mound a little mad when he took him out of the game early.
Yeah, he just dropped a bomb in slow motion in HD on national television. Right when he yanked him, he gave up the hit and he dropped a bomb, just a gigantic F-bomb. I would have yelled the same thing if I were him. Now you're going to see danger. Now the game changes dramatically. The whole game starts now. In my opinion, it's now or never. Now it all begins because your ace is done. You don't think you should have left him in there for the rest of the inning? At the very least, let him work his way out of it. He's worked his way out of everything else.
You would think he had gotten himself enough credit considering he's the only starting pitcher who has been good for him in this series. He would give him a little bit of leeway, but I guess not.
That is unbelievable to me. It really is. I just can't believe it. Like he just, you know, and this guy's pitching changes and hook is, I mean, this guy, Cash, he doesn't manage really like anybody else. He's half crazy the way he manages, right? He just goes, he'll put every single guy on the team out there to pitch. He'll literally do that. So we're going to try to hook up with Rick Caro, our sports business and legal insider from Harvard, on the show now. And keep our eyes on this. Runner on first, one out, bottom of the sixth. 1-0 Rays in Game 6 of the World Series.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. So now runners at second and third with one out. So they brought in the reliever for Snell, and the first guy up bats doubles down the line because you just knew it was inevitable, right? I mean, Snell, nobody can hit him. He strikes out nine, gives up two hits. His second hit he gives up, and the Cash yanks him, brings in a reliever, and then Snell's done. Begrudgingly, and then the first guy up doubles. Now they got runners on second and third with one out, and Seager's up, and a lot of people think that roll me away, won't you roll me away tonight? Bob Seager, actually Corey Seager. So Seager's up, one out, two on. If they walk him, then Turner, I think, would be next, and that's Carver High's boy at 25-1. Is that what you got him at?
That is correct. Before the series,
25-1 to be the MVP. Now he hit a home run in two straight games, right? So if he hits a grand slam in this game six to give him, or if he just even has a gigantic hit, if he doubles or whatever, and he gives him the winning run, if it's like a two run single, whatever, and they win 2-1, he'll be the MVP.
Let's get it.
That'll be it. Rick Caro, our sports business and legal insider on Sports Grid and Coast to Coast, Pharrell on a bench, and we bring him in. He's watching the World Series as we speak. And what did you think of Snell? Do you think that after he gave up the single that and then he throws a wild pitch to tie the game. Oh, my God. You suck so bad. How bad do you suck? I would have never brought this guy in. What are you doing? This is so unbelievable to me. Are you kidding me? You can't even throw a ball over the plate. This guy throws the game away. Oh, Christ almighty. Honestly, like, leave Snell in for nine innings compared to this drip. The first guy they brought in has butchered this game, a double and a wild pitch, and it's 1-1. And you know they're going to lose this game. Now this game's over. This game's over now because Cash had to yank Snell. What do you think, Rick? I mean, you're watching it. I'm watching it.
I was about to tell you even before that wild pitch, why do managers decide to overmanage like this? You know, as a Cub fan, the Cubs almost lost Game 7 because, Madden put Chapman in early, and if that guy doesn't work, then you're out of options. It's just something managers need to do because they don't – here comes another run.
He just scored Betts on a grounder to first. Choi threw it to the catcher, Zunino, and he swiped, and Betts is too fast for him. We've already seen this movie. We've already seen this movie before, Betts stealing home on a catcher. He did it to Yandy Diaz. Now he's doing it to Choi, and that's the game-winning one right there. You know, that's it, because in my opinion, now I'm sure I'll be wrong, but you know, the Rays can't hit. So where are they going to score runs besides none? They're not going to score another run in this game, are they?
Well, Rosarena will come up one more time, and they may even walk him. So here's my question. You saw that Snell put the mask on, and he's standing in the dugout. What do you think he's saying right now? You can't read lips because he's got a mask on. Imagine what he's saying right now. It's just this is bonehead.
Well, I know what he's saying, because when he came off the mound, he said it all on national television. We saw him drop an F-bomb the size of Texas, so we know exactly what he thinks. When he brought him out of the game, the guy gave up two hits, threw 71 pitches, whatever, and was throwing a two-hitter with nine strikeouts. He gives up a single, and Cash yanks him. I got to tell you, it's like you said, overmanaged. Cash, everybody says he's the greatest manager on earth. Everyone loves him. I think he should have left him in, because the rest of his team sucks. And I mean, they don't hit. They don't score runs. Tonight, against all the worst Dodger pitchers, they couldn't even get a hit, let alone a run. And if it wasn't for a Rosarena, they'd be down 2-0 in this game.
Right. They just took out their best player other than Rosarena. Certainly, with Charlie Morton struggling a little bit, their best pitcher. And why do you take your best pitcher out after he strikes nine guys out in a two-hitter? You're right. You're right.
I'd let him work out of the sixth. And then if he can get out of the sixth, then you go to the bullpen in the seventh. But he took him out after a single, and look what's happened since his genius move. Like, honestly, I think he just absolutely. Yeah. And now your boy Turner hits all the way to the wall. Carver High, all the way to the wall. He hit it all the way to the wall. Humanity. Oh, the humanity. Hey, Haro, he's got a 25-1 ticket on Turner to be the MVP, which he will no longer be in the conversation after this.
Well, you know, 3 seconds ago, maybe about 3 or 4 feet, that would have been a shot, right? 3 or 4 feet. If that was out of the ballpark, it's hands down. It's 4-1.
Yeah, then it's over, and they're starting to celebrate. But now, he's going to the pen again. With two outs and a runner at first, right? So he's going to the pen again. So Betts with the go-ahead run and the tying run on a wild pitch from Anderson. I wanted to get sick just watching that. I just can't believe it. I would have left Snell in. He was pitching a gem. How do you take a guy out pitching a gem? Honestly, like, I don't care how many pitches throws. No one could hit him.
I got another World Series question. I got another World Series question, game four, for you. I know it's kind of old. Was that game four one of the top two or three, I had this long conversation with a lot of people in baseball, top two or three non-elimination World Series games of all time as far as best? Kurt Gibson's was not an elimination game. Don Larson's perfect game was not an elimination game. But those two reminded me as far as drama. But it was the best. That game four will live in history. That was an incredible game. And the irony is, here's the irony, it might have been the lowest rated television game ever for a World Series.
I think wasn't the Carlton Fisk home run in 75? That was a non-elimination game. That was a great
non-elimination game because it came back and they won game seven. That's another good one. All right, so we're still in the top five, but that was good. That's right. And Don Larson, you and I, were we born? We weren't born yet. No,
but Carver High, can you think of a better World Series game? How about the Yankees and Diamondbacks when Arizona beat them?
Game seven with obviously Clemens and Schilling dueling, and Soriano hits that late homer, and then Rivera blows it unfortunately in the ninth with a couple of chip shots over the infield that unfortunately
Gonzalez.
Well, pretty much every hit was a little chip shot. And they blew that game. That was
a game seven, though, right?
That was a game seven.
That a game seven?
Yes.
These elimination games, there were a lot of those, just by definition. But one of the top guys in baseball called me and said, "This is ironic because it may be one of the best." And then we thought of all of those, minus Fisk. That was a good call. And then we looked at the overnights, and it may end up being the lowest rated World Series game ever, which is amazing.
No one watches the World Series?
Yeah, well, it could be because there's a whole lot of people who are doing other stuff. Might be pandemic. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's the Rays. Everybody's jumping on the Rays because they're not a national team. I don't think that's the issue. I think the storyline is really good. I think the Rosarena storyline is amazing. But, you know, it's a lot more people than before are watching sports on television and or streaming and or devices. But who'd have thought that the baseball playoffs would compete with the NBA finals, the NHL finals? So that's got to count for something.
Do you think that people are actually watching the last 7 days of the election coverage, where it's just on the three cable news channels, the, you know, MSNBC, CNN, and Fox, that it's this just attack. I mean, it is just, it's just dirty, just absolutely smearing each other and talking trash about each other and just lying through their teeth, and just the vindictiveness and backstabbing and evil. They're evil. I think they're both evil. Do you think people are more tuned into that than they are the World Series?
Yeah. I think people are turned off by watching anything on television, and that would qualify. And certainly the debate was low rated, this one anyway. So people are turned off by it. So you would argue, why don't they watch sports? Sports is a perfect kind of respite and an escape from that stuff. And I can't explain it. I really can't. People would be jumping toward explaining that the Rays are the team that that needs a lot of help and they need a national following. I do know this, that stadium issue that they've been talking about for a number of years between Brady, between the Lightning, now with the Rays, there may be some momentum for a new stadium in Tampa, even more so than before. And there's nothing better to kickstart it again than a team in the World Series.
What do you think of the Rays, or, you know, across town the Bucks, what they're doing and what Brady's doing, and how, and, you know, it's not like I haven't seen a bunch of Brady endorsements or commercials or any, you know, drive. And I guess I've seen him do one commercial, like where he's in bed shining his helmet before the game or whatever. I don't even know what that ad is for, but I know that you're right with Tostitos. Good call, Carver.
Yeah,
but do you think that, but he's blowing up, like he's really in the, like literally since week three, he's been on a tear as a quarterback. He's like, he's leading in two huge departments, in third in yards and first in, you know, completion percentage, touchdowns. The guy's going off. Do you think that Brady's going to actually blow up? Well, let's just hold that thought, and we'll come back and talk more about it. But just hold that thought and think of Brady in terms of what's this going to do for Brady and the Buccaneers as they continue to look like the best team in the NFC. They're turning into it with the defense they have. And if they could have that Super Bowl in Tampa and play in it, what that would mean for Tampa and for the city and for the Buccaneers and everything that's going on down there right now after the Lightning won the Stanley Cup. All right, coming up Saturday night, this Saturday night, which is Pharrelloween, you're going to have an incredible Showtime pay-per-view fight card with Gervonta Davis taking on Leo Santa Cruz, the WBA Super Featherweight World Championship, plus the WBA Lightweight World Championship on the line, the 130-pound belt, the 135-pound title, all on the line. In San Antonio at the Ferrellamo Dome. It's going to be incredible. 9 Eastern on Showtime pay-per-view. Listen to this. Fans are allowed into this fight. Tickets are on sale through Ticketmaster. They're going to socially distance all the sections. Everybody's going to sit in blocks, separated by space from each other at the fight. It's a great venue for boxing. They've had a lot of great fights there. It's Saturday night, 9 Eastern on Showtime pay-per-view. And, these two are just incredible when you think about it. Davis, 23-0, 22 knockouts. He's a knockout artist. Leo Santa Cruz, 37-1-1 with 19 knockouts. Davis is a knockout artist. Santa Cruz is a guy that just throws, like, he'll throw 1,200 punches. The guy's nuts. He just goes 100 miles an hour and throws bombs the entire fight for 12 rounds. It is incredible watching these two fight. I can't even believe they're taking each other on. Santa Cruz said, bring it on. I'm not afraid of him. Let's go. And tried to make this fight happen. And he, you know, be careful what you ask for. Here it is. You're fighting Davis now. He's a Mayweather guy, Floyd Mayweather and Mayweather Promotions. Davis, that's who he fights for. He's a protege of Floyd Mayweather. So it's going to be incredible. The co-feature is Mario Barrios, the undefeated champ. The WBA super lightweight champ from San Antonio, taking on our buddy Ryan Cowboy Carl from Houston. And then you got Regis Prograis taking on Juan Giraldez for a 10-round super lightweight fight and a Cruz Magdaleno IBF lightweight title eliminator fight. Four fights, great pay-per-view, Saturday night, 9 Eastern, call Showtime. Your cable operator, your content is on there from the app, Showtime app. Your smart TVs, you can call your satellite provider and order the pay-per-view fight. It's even on Showtime.com where you can order it. So get the fights. I think you're going to dig it. It does not get better than Tank Davis against Leo Santa Cruz Saturday night in San Antonio for Halloween night this Saturday night on Showtime pay-per-view. Check it out. I think you're going to dig the fight. All right, Rick Carlos with us. 2-1 Dodgers now, and Gratterall's in the game. And there's a runner at first with two outs. I think they're going to pull Gratterall now. Is that about right? Gratterall's leaving, and Roberts is not messing around. We're talking to Rick Caro, Sports Business and Legal Insider, on the bench. So let's go through some of the tech stuff for the week and the sports stuff for the week, and then we'll go from there. So athletes continue to recognize the potential of esports with Juju Smith-Schuster of the Steelers. And how about Man City's Sergio Aguero making investments last week in esports? Tell me about that, Rick.
It's all about esports. Yeah. So, you know, they're spending a lot of money. Aguero serves as CEO of this firm. It's a lifestyle entertainment gaming company. And pro athletes are becoming more and more committed to esports, and of course gaming as well. A lot of discussion about whether athletes can make investments in gaming companies, especially if the lines are set for games they play, but nobody seems to have a lot of restrictions on that, so the athletes are spending money.
The LA Kings and LA Galaxy boost the traditional sports esports connection. In what way?
Yeah, well, they're doing the first official sports tournament provider of the Kings and the Galaxy is Esports Entertainment Group. It's a Malta company, but they are doing the Esports Gaming League, and they're spending a lot of time developing leagues across the pond, as they say. But now it's for AEG, the Kings, the Galaxy, people in L.A. And so it's another example of Esports being done by international firms, but they're doing it here.
Inter Miami CF, that's, I believe, Beckham's team, might be at the bottom of the third of the Eastern Conference in their inaugural season, but the club is tops among MLS clubs on social media. How have they pulled that off?
Well, because they have a campaign to try to get it done, and their owner and their staff believes that social media is a really important way to promote soccer. LA Galaxy led Facebook with about 53.5 million impressions, but Inter Miami FC or CF is not that far behind. FC Cincinnati, Minnesota United, Columbus Crew, Chicago Fire. So they're doing a lot of stuff in social media. It comes top down from the MLS.
Have you ever gone to a game yet in Miami?
Not yet, because you know they planned a new stadium there. Remember, and it's, until it gets built, which, because it's City of Miami, it may take 100,000 years, they're doing it at Lockhart Stadium, which is that old where the Fort Lauderdale Strikers used to be. Remember, the New York Yankees used to train there. They tore that down, but they built kind of a temporary facility there, and that's where it is now. So it's the Miami team, but they're playing in Lauderdale.
So what is this Venn, the new TV network, hoping to be gaming's culture? In terms of answer to MTV, has raised $26 million to bring a mix of video game theme entertainment and streaming celebrity features to the masses. What is Venn?
Well, they're trying to figure out how to bring kind of MTV entertainment reality stuff to this network. The idea is the creation of a kind of a special network to have a very specific niche. By the way, $26 million, you know, that's some money, but it's not a lot for a major network. But they're trying to do some stuff with sports and entertainment for a very small demographic.
What about FIFA? They cement their esports world-class status. How did they do that with the new EA Sports FIFA game?
Yeah, a whole bunch of esports stuff this week. FIFA Sports, FIFA 21, $3 million in prizes, $500,000 prize pool. They've got a EA Sports FIFA 21 Global Series, the qualifiers, the regional playoffs, the E-Champion League. They're doing all of that stuff in addition to the Women's League, in addition to the Men's League. They got the World Cup in Qatar in 2022, and now they realize how important esports is.
So the Good Sports 5, we start with the match. It'll feature your boy Charles Barkley, the Chuckster, is going to be playing in this. Phil Mickelson will partner with Barkley at Stone Canyon in Arizona in the Oro Valley on TNT. And who are they taking on? Steph Curry and Peyton Manning?
Yeah, Steph Curry, Peyton Manning. It'll benefit the historically black colleges and universities. Barkley donated $1 million to Alabama A&M and another $1 million to Clark University, the Amy Mickelson Charitable Foundation. So they've got a lot of charity that they're raising dollars for, and so they're looking forward to starting some kind of a tradition during Thanksgiving. You know, the old skins game used to be really a lot of fun. And it may very well be that we're going to have something on Thanksgiving weekend on a regular basis that may not replace the skins game, but we may have a regular golf thing to fit football also.
I got to tell you, this is just me. I thought the skins games were better than this stuff, this whole match.
Yeah. Well, so did I. And frankly, this is I think this is better than nothing, but I think the old skins games – NBC had the rights, and it's kind of not in litigation. It's going to be hard to get it back, but I love the skins game. Then they started talking about skins game with celebrities in the middle of it too. And one of the problems is during Thanksgiving, you got to spend an awful lot of money to get Tiger and Phil and others out there. This is a big deal. We're trying to find out how much they're being paid to put this deal together. But, this is not something that you can just do now because you want to go out and play golf. It's big business.
What about the fact that Chuck sucks at golf and I don't want to watch him suck at golf?
Well, a lot of people want to watch him suck at golf because it makes their game feel better. Also, he's the only guy who reminds me kind of my swing, and you've seen it, so I don't want you to talk about it, but he swings in quadrants. You know, it's like, all right, here I'm an upper third of the swing, so let me stop and let me reevaluate. He has gotten better. But the problem with Chuck is I think he realizes that he's better than he wants to appear, and therefore he's kind of a character of himself.
Haro shoots in the 70s, but his backswing, he stops at the top and, like, has a ham sandwich and then swings. How can you shoot 74, 75 with that stoppage in play and a ham sandwich?
Well, the ham sandwich doesn't really happen, but the stoppage in play is because, you know, when you go through a day and there's a lot of stuff thinking about, there's an awful lot collected up there, and you got to start thinking about what to do. I overload my swing thoughts with many of them, and I wait up to the top, and that's why people that I played with in pro-ams refuse to look at the swing. I was told by a guy who's won a couple of majors who lives down here that if he wants to do business with me ever, it's not going to be on the golf course because he doesn't want to look at that ever again.
Who said that to you? Shark Norman? I knew it. I called it.
Yeah, of course.
All right, tell me.
That's pretty good. Yeah, you called it.
It could have been anyone. You live near Justin Thomas, Tiger Woods, all the rest of them are your neighbors. And I picked the right one. Speaking of mansions, when I come down to stay at your mansion, I hope that you're not there. I just wanted to say that. I'll take care of the mansion
Thank
for you.
Well, that's very nice.
When you're out of town,
very
I'll
well
feed your dog.
Yeah, so I'm inviting you, and you're not going to be here. Good.
Yes. I'm gonna stay there. All I need to know is the instructions for the jet skis. How do I turn those on and put them in the water? That's all I need.
Yeah,
advice
I'm gonna hide the key. And, yeah. Perfect. No. Thank you for the invitation. Your self-invitation.
Yeah, and
self-invitation is accepted.
I think I'll bring my hot wife and my kids, too. Because you got I've seen your
That's
house.
Awesome.
Your house is the size of Nevada.
Bring the whole family. Bring
You'll
the
have
whole
fun.
Family. Not
You'll
a problem.
Have fun. And
Since you've
like,
invited
can,
yourself. Bring
listen,
the whole family.
Why not? And I'll pay for all the food. I'll take you to fancy restaurants. We can go to the massage parlor that Bob Kraft got arrested at. Notice how there's no comment.
But now that he's, that's done. No, not only no comment, but the charges are dropped. We can't even talk about it. It's over.
Yeah, I can talk about it. All right. Here's the deal. I think I'm out of time. How much time do I got, Carver High? I'm down to a minute. I just have to pick
the
right story.
But so can I just make one comment that you forgot to follow up after the commercial?
Yes.
I think Tom Brady's great for Tampa. I think
there's
a realistic shot that he hosts the Super Bowl. And I do think at the end of the day that it's going to be one of those deals where he's going to revolutionize Tampa sports, and they may very well win or at least be in the Super Bowl in their own stadium, which is something that hasn't been done since, I guess you could say, the Niners played at Stanford Stadium, but that really doesn't count.
What would his stock be like if he wins the Super Bowl in Tampa after winning six of them in New England?
Well, he's not very well liked right now in Boston, but that doesn't really matter. His stock goes through the roof. I can't think of anybody else other than maybe, Peyton Manning who did it in another place. But this is different. This is winning six and then doing
right.
it in another place.
Have All right, weekend. Rick. Good stuff. Thank you. I'll see you next week.
All right, man.
All right, there he is, Rick Harl on the bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench. So Dodgers up 2-1 in the seventh inning, bottom of the seventh. They're up, runner on second. Will Smith doubled to start the inning with a leadoff double. One out now. Fairbanks is pitching for the Rays. They're down a run. And remember, it was Anderson's wild pitch that led to the tying run and then grounder to Choi threw it to the catcher, and Betts slid home with the go-ahead run to make it 2-1 in the sixth inning. They did that damage after Cash pulled Snell after giving up a single in the sixth. So meanwhile, the guy had been throwing 9 strikeout, 2-hit game and on 70-some pitches, and they yanked him. And ever since then, it's been all Dodgers. And we talked about this at the beginning of the show, did we not? Did we not tell you at the beginning of the show that they'll take Snell out and the next thing you know, they'll lose 2-1 to the Dodgers? How many times did I say it? I mean, it's just inevitable, like, that they're going to blow this. Now, I hope they don't. I hope that just for the sake of seeing a Game 7, which everyone loves in every sport, in the NBA, in the NHL, in baseball, you want to see a Game 7, right? So I hope they come back and win it and force a Game 7. But Carver High, you can't have a good feeling about this game if you're a Rays fan right now, because they just don't get hits. I mean, they're going to have another Saturday night miracle on a Tuesday night, because I just don't see them getting on base. At what point are they going to get a hit?
No, it's true. The only saving thing they have is I think that Arozarena is up in the top of the eighth for his last time. So, I mean, he's like the last chance that they have to get runs in this game, because he's the only one that drives any in.
Do you really think that he's going to hit another home run, a 10th home run? I don't, because, he hit one in the first at bat, and that's it for the night.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.